You know, growing up, I heard so many times in church, how many of you would rather be here than in the hospital? After spending a few days in the hospital, I agree. I would rather be here with you guys, and I consider myself blessed to be here. There were times I wondered if I was going to make it, but God in His grace and mercy takes care of us. I'm also excited today to start a new series out of the Psalms with you guys. For the next 12 weeks, we're going to be going through different Psalms. We're not going to cover all of the Psalms, but we're going to focus on those that will help us deal with everyday life, will help us live a life that's pleasing to God and honoring to Him. And so, guess where we're going to start? Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Many commentators believe that this psalm is a picture for us of what all of the Psalms collectively emphasize and point to. There's times when they point to our relationship with God. There's times when they point to the discouragement that we can feel. But what we find is the psalmist always comes back to that place of focusing his attention and the attention of those who read this psalm upon the Lord and upon His goodness to us and thank Him for that. You know, there are times in life when those who stand against you are the best illustration of what you stand for. Think about that for just a moment. When those who stand against you represent a good picture for what you and I stand for. This is one of those psalms that talks about that. There's a contrast between those who are righteous and those who are wicked. Our life can be defined by what we say no to as much as what we say yes to. Let's look at this psalm together. Psalm 1, there's six verses there. It says, "How blessed is the man," the person, "who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law," God's law, "he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." It's the ultimate destiny of those who are followers of God is heaven. The ultimate destiny for those who do not follow God is hell. Not that God prepared that place for the wicked. He wants us all to come to Him and to receive the blessed life that He has for us. Let's take the first verse here, looking at this idea of living the blessed life is determined by who we say no to. Living a blessed life is determined by who we say no to. Do you have a struggle? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But do you have a struggle saying no? Do you have a struggle sometimes feeling as if, well, I don't want to hurt that person's feelings, or I don't want to create conflict, but no is what we must do to make our yes effective. And to make our yes mean something, we have to learn to say no. Because if we say yes to everything and we don't learn how to say no, then we are just simply following along with the crowd. But saying no, and that's a big part. How blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. What did this individual have to learn to do? They had to learn to say no. They had to learn to say no to some people. They had to learn to say no to some circumstances. They had to say no to some advice that they might be given. I want you to see here one thing that is so powerful is looking at this idea from the standpoint of the habits of our life are demonstrated by the way we walk, the way we stand, and by the way we sit. Also, too, the people we listen to are demonstrated here by the advice that we take in, by the pathway that we follow, and by the company that we keep. The third thing that's here is, our righteousness is shown by not hanging out with the wicked, with sinners, or with mockers. Now, think about the psalm for just a minute, and think about this progression that is demonstrated in the psalm. I want to demonstrate it by this. You and I live our life. We walk through life, sometimes running, sometimes barely getting by, but we get through life, moving forward, progressing. One of the things that he's talking about here is when we walk, we don't walk in the advice that the wicked give. We don't walk in that wicked way. We don't walk according to the world. We don't walk according to worldly advice, but we walk according to God's word. Well, he says here, the blessed man, the happy person, the individual who lives their life according to God's word is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He or she is a person who lives life according to God's word, not according to the world's way or plans. When you and I are walking, whenever you and I are following a plan for our life, we're in the process of walking. But then sometimes we can get to a place where we feel like, hey, I need to stop here a while. Or something may be appealing to us where we say, hey, I'm going to stop here for a while. I'm just going to stand and listen to what is being shared. But then there can be other times. You ever had somebody say to you, come on in, sit a while. What are they talking about? Relax. Stay here. Plan to stay here a while. The counsel of the wicked can lead us to a place to where we are walking along and all of a sudden we see something that captures our attention. And so we stand there for a moment. And then we have others who come up to us and say, sit down for a while. Listen to what I have to say. They may not be that direct, but that's really what they mean. Stay here a while. The one who is not wicked, but the man or the woman who is blessed by God, is not going to walk in the advice, the counsel of the wicked. The one who is blessed by God, who lives according to His way, is not going to stand in the paths of sinners. And the one who is going to experience God's blessing on his or her life is not the one who sits in the seat of scoffers. But, look at verse 2. His or her delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you take delight in the law of the Lord? I mean, when you think about it, is it something that's important to you? Or is it something you only talk about on Sundays when you come to church? Is it something that's a part of your everyday life or something that is just there in the midst of your need, your time of need? Psalm 119 is another psalm that talks a lot about the Word of God, the teachings of God, the precepts, the ideas. Here I have 26 verses in Psalm 119 that point to the value or the significance of spending time in God's Word. First of all, that you're going to know this one. How can a young man keep his way pure? How does he or she do that? By following the Word of God. That's the value of it. It says in Psalm 119:11, I have treasured your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 16 says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. If you think about the psalmist and what he did in speaking 26 times about the significance of the Word of God, the value of the Word of God, the treasure of the Word of God, would you say that you treasure God's Word? Would you say that you delight in it? Does it bring you joy to spend time in the Word of God? Does it bring you joy to spend time with God? Are you afraid? Are you ashamed to call upon His name because of something that you have done or something that you have said? My friend, God chose to die for us, not when we were at our best, but when we were at our worst. And it's that kind of love that God expresses to us in the Word of God. It's a treasure. It's a value. It's worth more than silver and gold. is something that should cause us to find great delight. That's when we're going to live the blessing of the life that God has for us. When we say yes, first of all, we talked about saying no and how easy it is for us to say yes to everything. There are specific things we need to say no to, and there's other things we need to say yes to. Remember the story of Jonah? I don't know if you've noticed in that story, Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down to Tarshish, then to the bottom of the boat. He was thrown down into the sea and went down into the belly of the whale. When you and I cannot learn how to say no, then you and I are going to find ourselves down a road that leads to destruction, a downward path that causes us not to look favorably on what God has for us, but to look unfavorably. When we fail to say no to the world, we will always go downward. Something, just mark it in your life. You may not go downward right away, but when you and I say yes to the world, we will always go downward. Living the blessed life is determined by who we say yes to. Saying yes to God, delighting in His Word, as the psalmist talks about. When we keep, whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to be. That was said by A.W. Tozer. You and I spend time away from the Word of God. We are more apt to say no to God and yes to the world. But the one who wants to live a blessed life is going to be an individual who learns how to say yes. Yes to God's law. Yes to God's word. Yes to the truth of what God has spoken. He mentions here in verse 3 a promise. He says, the person who says no to worldly things and yes to God is a person who will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he or she does, they prosper. You want to be that kind of person? Not just simply prospering in financial things, but prospering in all areas of your life. It doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to be discouraged at times. But in the end, when we live a blessed life before God, following what His Word tells us to do, we're going to experience the prosperity that God wants to give us. And it's not just financial. It's in every aspect. It's in our careers. It's It's in our relationships with our spouse, with our children. It's in relationships that we have outside of our immediate family. It's in friendships that we have. That's how we're going to experience what God has for us. When we give God our unconditional yes. You think about that for just a moment. I don't want you to raise your hands, but I want you to ask yourself, because really, only you and God know the answer to this question. Have you given to God your unconditional yes? So if God wants you to do something, are you willing to say, "Yes, Lord, here I am"? We have a brick at our front door. And carved in that brick is a statement, "Yes, Lord." It's given to me by a great friend. And it emphasizes what we always need to be about in our relationship with God. Not that I'm saying, no, I'm not going to do that. But that I'm saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll be faithful. I will follow you. I will grow with you. I will do what you are calling me to do. I will spend time in your word, not just one day a week, but each day that I can, I will spend time learning what you have to say to me." Are you experiencing the blessed life? You think about your life. Are you experiencing the blessed life because you're saying yes to what God wants for you? I can't tell you how much this word at the end of verse 3, and in whatever this person does, they are going to prosper. That's characteristic. No, that's a promise that God gives to us when we give to Him our unconditional yes. It says in verses 4 and 5, the wicked are not like this. In other words, they're not individuals who prosper in all that they are doing. They are not like a tree firmly planted by rivers of water. They are not an individual whose leaf does not wither. Earlier in the psalm, he said, or in this verse, he says, they are like chaff. You guys know what chaff is? You know, you tear the outer part of a ear of corn, that's chaff. It's just blown away. It's just discarded. It says the wicked are like chaff. The wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Living the blessed life cannot be experienced by the wicked because they are unsettled. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now, what's he talking about in those two verses? He's talking about those who live the wicked lifestyle or the worldly lifestyle. They're never going to be settled. They're never going to come to a place to where they can say, They're never going to be at a place of rest. There's always going to be this sense of turmoil. There's always going to be this sense of chaos in their life because they have not anchored their life to the only true anchor of life, Jesus Christ. They have tried to find peace. They've tried to find comfort in this or that, but they're always searching. They're always striving. They're always hoping that the next big thing is going to be out there and all of a sudden everything's going to be wonderful. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this is not going to be true of them. Why? In verse 6 it says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." When we stop and think about how this psalm is such an important picture, can't we go to Matthew chapter 7? The end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. 7 verse 24, it says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, winds blew, pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew, pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." There was no stability. For the person who does not follow God's ways, who does not cherish the value of a relationship with the Lord, who's just simply trying to live out a good life or a religious life, but they're trying to do it without the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 says there, "But the way of the wicked will perish." Today, as you think of the Word of God, maybe you're thinking about yourself, or maybe you're thinking about a friend that you have, that you've been friends with for a long time. Isn't it worth making sure? Isn't it worth not perishing? To simply spend time in the Word of God and to make sure what His Word says is what you are living by? I don't think that all of us comprehend the depth, the breadth of what heaven is going to be like. We can think about heaven in fleshly ways. We can think about heaven from the perspective of how great it's going to be for me. But when you and I understand heaven, we are not going to desire to perish. We're not going to desire that our friends, our relatives perish. We're going to be more determined in our prayer for them. We're going to be more determined in our communication with them. When we understand only a small part, only a small part of what heaven holds. So I tell you today, my friend, I want for all of us to go there. I want for all of us to experience what heaven has for us. I want us all to live at a place in our life where we can say no to worldly ways and worldly ideas. Where we can say, yes, I delight in the Word of God. I cherish the Word of God. I value the Word of God so much that I spend time in it all that I can. It says day and night you meditate on the Word of God. You think about it. You think about, how would I address this problem? How would I address this relationship? How would I address these things that I am going through right now? If the Lord is not the first person that you talk to about your problems, you are missing one of the greatest blessings in life. It doesn't mean God is going to solve all of our problems immediately and we just sit there and wait for Him to solve the problems. But if you don't ask, what does the Scripture say? You're not going to receive because you failed to ask. Because you missed that blessing, because you missed that moment of crying out to God first and foremost. I don't know about you, but I've had many a time that I've tried to solve all of my problems, only to come back to the reality that if I would have called out, if I had cried out, if I had asked, God would be faithful to meet that need, to give me that sense of direction that I need in my life. So as you think about what the psalmist wrote, are you living a wicked lifestyle? Are you living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God? Are you coming to the fork in the road and you choose the fork that focuses on God? You give Him the opportunity to show you His ability to meet your needs and to guide you in the right paths, to lead you according to His will. Are you at a place where when you encounter a struggle, the first place you go is to someone else or to yourself? Only you can answer that question. But I ask you to pause and think about that today. God's Word is powerful. It's living. It's something that only those who are followers of God can understand, because the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth of what God's Word says. Let's pray together.